Welcome to the November edition of the IASB Update podcast. My name is Claire Short, and I am part of the communications team at the IFRS Foundation. Today, I'm joined by Heinz Hoogvorst and Sue Lloyd, Chair and Vice Chair of the International Accounting Standards Board, respectively. It's great to have you both here today as we look more closely at the discussions that took place at the IASB meeting held virtually on the 18th and 19th of November 2020. This was a particularly special meeting in that it was partly a joint educational meeting with the FASB. Hans, can you fill us in on this?
Yes, well, the IASB has a very close and cordial relationship with the FESB, and the joint educational meeting is an important annual event. Of course, it's very different from the past where we were working together to completely converge our standards. That is no longer in the cards. But we do think it is important that we update each other to at least prevent further the two standards drifting apart in the future, because we've made a lot of progress towards convergence and we would like to keep it that way for the sake of investors. This year we looked closely at our respective projects on general COVID-19 application issues, as well as the amendments to lease accounting as a result of the pandemic. And actually the way in which the two boards reacted were quite similar. And then we had a rather lengthy discussion on both boards are working on the issue of goodwill and impairment. And we received a summary of the feedback that FESB had received on their consultations. And we told them about the progress that we are making. Actually, here there is the possibility that the boards would grow apart because the FESB is leaning towards reintroduction of amortization of goodwill, and our board is much less convinced of that. So all the more reason to have a good dialogue with the FESB, and it was good to hear all their arguments.
Thank you, Hans. Now let's turn our attention to the regular monthly board meeting. Sue, we've seen some important developments in our PIR or post-implementation review work. Could you give us a little context on what a PIR is and the decisions taken by the board this month?
Sure. So post-implementation reviews are an important part of our due process. We use them really to look back a couple of years after a new standard or major amendment has been applied internationally, to look and really see whether the standard has worked the way that we expected and whether there's sort of any unintended effects or consequences that we should be aware of, talking to investors, preparers, and auditors and regulators. And we do the PIRs in two steps. Firstly, we spend time identifying the issues that people have and assessing the matters that should be looked at perhaps in more detail. And we put together then what we call a request for information that pulls together the information we've found in that first phase. And then we put the RFI out for comment and consider the comments that we get back. So we are sort of mid-process, if you like, with the post-implementation reviews for our consolidation suite of standards, IFRS 10, 11 and 12. At April this year, we discussed and agreed on the staff's findings on the initial issues to be included in the request for information. And at this month's meeting, we gave the go-ahead to publish the request for information, probably in December this year, and agreed to have a 150-day comment period, which is slightly longer than usual, given the COVID situation. And people might remember that last month we talked about the post-implementation reviews of IFRS 9 and 15 and decided that we would start the review of the classification and measurement requirements of IFRS 9 shortly and wait a bit longer until we start IFRS 15 and the rest of IFRS 9.
Thanks, Sue. Hans, back to you. The management commentary project is progressing nicely with a consultation planned for April next year. What did the board hear about this project this month?
Yes, already in October, the staff were given green light to begin drafting an exposure draft of the revised practice statement. And this month, we looked at two small sweep issues that emerged after we had given the blessing to the staff to start drafting that, you know, arose as part of this process. Firstly, we discussed the application of the practice statement by companies that do not apply IFRS standards. So if a company uses a different accounting standard, but they still would like to use our practice statement, could they say that they have been prepared in accordance with the management commentary as we wrote it? And we decided that if a company's management commentary complies with the practice statement, the company should be able to state that fact, even if its financial statements are not prepared in accordance with IFRS standards. And secondly, we decided to label freedom from error, which is a term from our conceptual framework, with another, perhaps more simple term, accuracy, as a required characteristic of management commentary. The reason why we did so is that the term accuracy is a bit simpler and it is more positive rather than stating a negative freedom of error. It expresses the characteristic required rather than a characteristic to be avoided. So that's why we did what we did.
The board also heard an update for the subsidiaries that are SMEs project. Hans, can you fill us in?
So the objective of this project is to develop an IFRS standard with reduced disclosure requirements solely for providing relief for subsidiaries of companies that use full IFRS. And we have decided that the disclosure requirements of the IFRS for SME standard will be the starting point for the disclosure requirements in a reduced disclosure for IFRS standard. However, there are cases where there are also recognition and measurement differences between the IFRS for SME standard and IFRS standards. And this month we look two sets of disclosure requirements related to disclosure improvements where we have departed from this agreed approach. And I would suggest that people look at the ISB update for a bit more detail.
Thank you, Hans. Sue, as usual, we wrap up this chat with a look at any issues of maintenance and consistent application that was raised at the board meeting. What was covered this month?
So this month we talked about our project on deferred tax. People might remember I talked about this in the last podcast. So this is an amendment that arose largely because of the new leasing requirements and how to account for deferred tax where you've got an asset and a liability both recognised at initial recognition. So in October, we confirmed that we would go ahead with the proposed amendment, which would narrow the scope of the recognition exemption that already exists in IAS 12. But in a slightly simplified form compared with what we exposed, removing the sort of cap proposal that was in that document that would have limited the recognition of deferred tax liabilities to the amount recognised for a deferred tax asset from that transaction. That's a very long start for me getting to the punchline, which is that this month we gave the green light to the staff to begin drafting these amendments 12. And we also decided to require companies to apply these amendments for annual reporting periods on or after the 1st of January 2023. So people have got a good amount of time to get ready.
That covers the board meeting for November, but we've had some other interesting developments this past month. Sue, can you tell us more about some of these?
Okay, sure. So the first thing was that we had a research forum early in November, so a virtual research forum, given the environment that we're in conjunction with accounting and business research. And at the research forum, various academics and practitioners and standard setters and regulators came together to discuss some current research into financial reporting matters that are all relevant to the work that we do. For the first time, we had a couple of panels and we discussed research opportunities, particularly looking forward to the post-implementation reviews that I was talking about earlier on. So people who are interested in the research forum can find recordings and presentations from that two-day event on our website, ifrs.org. The other thing that I was going to mention is a new piece of educational material that we've just published on climate-related information. You can't get away from discussions on climate change generally, and there's no exception for those preparing financial statements. It's a really hot topic, excuse the pun, in the standard setting world. And so we've just published some new educational materials that are designed to highlight how existing requirements in our standards require companies to consider climate-related matters when their effect is material on the financial statements. So people might remember that a while ago, Nick Anderson, one of our board members, published an article on a similar topic looking at investor needs. And this new educational material complements that article, and it's been developed in response to stakeholder requests to get some more information on this topic. And what we do, for example, in this document is include specific paragraph references for people preparing financial statements to look at. So we include examples. It's a non-exhaustive list, of examples of when companies need to think about climate-related matters when they're reporting, and it's designed to help with consistent application of our standards. And really importantly, it doesn't add to or change any of the existing requirements. It just reminds people of how to think about climate when they're picking up our standards and working out how best to apply them.
Thank you, Sue. Hans, I can't believe that we've only got a couple of months left with you at the helm as you finish your second term as chair of the board towards the middle of next year. And this brings me to another important announcement we made this month. Hans, can you tell us a bit more?
Yes. So earlier this month, it was announced that my successor will be Andreas Barkov. Andreas is very well known to the board. I think he's probably the person who has attended most of our meetings, ISB meetings, in person. We know him very well. And we also know him as the president of the German Accounting Standards Body, the Deutsches Rechnungslegungsstandardskomitee. And he has also held a very important function in Europe as vice chair of EFREC, EFREC being advisory body to the Commission about the endorsement of IFRS. So he has a solid international experience, and much to his credit in EFREC, he has always, you know, advocated the view that Europe should follow our standards as closely as possible. He has also been a member of the ISB's Accounting Standards Advisory Forum and the IFRS Advisory Council. So we know him very well. I wish him a lot of success. In the coming months, I will help him in the transition to his new position. I'm going to have a long call in next week. So I look forward in working with him to get everything done as smoothly as possible.
Well, Hans, we at the Foundation will certainly miss you when that time comes, but we still have a few months to go, and that means...
Seven months.
We still have 7 months to go. And that means we'll be hearing from you on the podcast for a little bit longer, which is great. Thank you for joining me today. To our listeners, you can find all of our podcasts on the podcast page of our website, as well as on our YouTube channel and your podcast player. If you have any comments on this podcast, please email communications@ifrs.org. Till next time, goodbye.